Bible this morning and turn to the 23rd Psalm, please, the 23rd Psalm. And while you're turning, let me remind you that if you must step out, please use the back doors to do so. We won't use this front door up here, and make sure your phone's off so it does not go off during our service. Look back at me, if you will, please. If you found the 23rd Psalm, I want to tell you something. The first time that I preached this sermon, I preached it to a crowd of two people. I preach at a church up in the state of New Jersey. I preach at it every year. I preached at it every year for 20-some years. I'll be scheduled to go there and preach again this year. There's a man that used to sit in the pews when I would preach there, and he loved me. I loved him. He was just a member of the church, but you go somewhere 20 years in a row, you get used to the people. About 18, 19 months ago, he was diagnosed with cancer. He was so looking forward to my coming and preaching last year, and he had told his pastor, he said, "Pastor, from all indications, this will be my last time to hear Brother Owens preach, and I'm so excited." He fell extremely ill prior to my arriving, and he was so brokenhearted. He was not going to be able to come to the services, and the pastor said, "Preacher, old so-and-so wanted to know if you'd go by and see him." I said, "Sure." So I went to the hospital where he was, and he had IVs in his arm, and he was dying. And he told me, he said, "Brother Owens," he said, "they think I've got just a few days, and then I'll go on to glory." And he said this, he said, "I'm going to miss hearing you preach." He said, "I'm going to miss it." He said, "Could you tell me something?" He said, "I'm a little scared." I said, "I'll tell you something." I said, "How about I preach a sermon to you?" He said, "Would you?" I said, "Shut the door." That pastor sat down. I stood up. I opened my Bible to the 23rd Psalm. In a few moments, I'm going to preach to you what I preached to him. And it had to do with his fears, his insecurities. You know, let's read. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. Stand with me. I'm going to read to you the 23rd Psalm, one of the most popular and most powerful and most used passages and chapters of Scripture in the whole Word of God. The Bible says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And let me pray. Holy Spirit of God, come and do what you do best. And that is to take a diverse crowd, all ages, all educations, all statuses, but you're able to speak to every heart in a way that they need it. Use me as the human instrument to touch the hearts of these people. May you be exalted. May you be glorified. Spirit of God, do a supernatural work in our midst. Somebody here needs this sermon desperately. All of us need it. Help no one to take the attitude they don't, because they would be missing it. Speak to our hearts, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. We are awful concerned right now in our country about national security. There's the talk of the building of a wall between us and Mexico because of the concern of security. There's a debate going on right now with Apple giving access to phones, confidential information, so that the government may seek out and find information for terrorists. Police are now wearing body cams where they can record everything going on because of our concern, our fears, our security. The 23rd Psalm was written by God through David. David was a shepherd. And of course, you know David, that famous story of David and Goliath. And oh, we hear the story of King Saul, and we know about David defeating a lion and David defeating a bear. And And in a way, David is able to talk about the supplying of security to his sheep because he was a shepherd boy. And the 23rd Psalm is David trying to relay to people the care for the sheep. He's talking about the sheep's security. In this psalm, David likens the Lord to a shepherd, of course, and likens his people to sheep. And let me tell you something, folks. There's a wonderful thing. If you're not a born-again Christian, if you're not one of God's children, there's an absence of protection for you that a Christian gets that I wish you had. Not everything I'm about to say is available to people that don't know the Lord. And you need it, believe me. You need it more than you need ADT. You need the security of God in your life. David reminds us that the shepherd will provide for the needs. And that shepherd, for those sheep out there, he's providing them with some safety. Even so, God has provided you and I, his people, with some safety. And folks, I don't think we stay aware of God's watch care. You realize how many people went through terrible physical accidents this week and you made it through the week. That's not because of just you. That is the watch care of God. That God protects his people. But I'm afraid that I see in our Christians, and you don't get to travel, and I've traveled the nation, and I've been to different churches, and last night, just after 9 o'clock, I had 3 different pastors call me asking for help, and I have to tell you, I watch and I see our nation, I get to see it maybe from a little different perspective than you. Even Christianity's got an insecurity today that might even be a little unhealthy, because of a lack of faith in God. And I come to you realizing that I know these are dramatic times for our country, and I know that we're approaching, getting closer and closer to when Jesus is coming back, but there's still a faith and there's still a God, and he's still the same God that was described as the shepherd of the 23rd Psalm. I think God's people can get a little too insecure. I think we probably panic a little bit too much, or maybe too often, or maybe the panic lasts a little too long, because we're all going to panic some. We all will. You say, "Preacher, when do you panic?" I panic when Mrs. Owens is driving. She's a better driver than me. I've had more accidents than her. I'm just used to being in control. And probably I panic if you were driving too. Did you know that nothing gets to you without at least going across God's desk? And you're saying, "I don't know why he would have let that happen." I don't know, but God checks out all the burdens that we face and everything that comes our way. God didn't wake up and say, "That happened? No." Now, our government does that, but God does not do that. God knows. I think we ought to fear, but I think we almost fear too much sometimes. And so you all know fear can be paralyzing, and God knows I know, because I have my fears, and they can be paralyzing. Let me tell you something. You may lose track of God, and we all do some, but he never loses track of us. There have been times I've been lost in the heartache or lost in the burden or lost in the pain. And I lost track of him. But when I finally come to my senses and I land on my feet, I realize he never lost track of me. Hebrews 13:5 says, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Hey, if you're a child here, can I tell you something? You don't have to be afraid in the dark, because Jesus is there. He's with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I know of no one in our congregation that's off to Afghanistan or off to war. But I'll tell you one thing that you'll need to know if you ever go. You will not go alone. God will go with you. And I know many people here that have been in the military. I can go across this great sea of faces that's here today, and I will just assure you, if you ever face war, if you ever face the enemy's gun, you have a God that will not forsake you. He will be there with you. Now, if I may, my sermons are never complicated. I was dealing with a man that would pass within 24 to 48 hours, and he just wanted to hear me preach one last time. Some of you are thinking, I'd like to hear you preach one last time too. But it was very important to him, and I pulled out the 23rd Psalm, and I broke it down. See, I didn't have an outline with me, and I wasn't prepared to preach to him, but it's what he wanted. And then I walked away that day thinking, I'm gonna repeat that somewhere someday. I want to tell you this. I call the sermon, "Thou Art With Me." Thou art with me. Can I tell you, let me show you what God does to help give you safety in life. How God wants to stabilize you in the times of fear and hurt. First of all, he says that he is beneath us. There in Psalm 23, it says, he talks about the green pastures. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Where are those pastures to those sheep underneath them? God provides you and I safety from the angle of he's underneath us. Being underneath us, he holds us up. Being underneath us, he supports us. Stable ground, if you will. The solid rock that we sing about, that we read about, that is part of the security. That is a part of the safety that God provides. So he said there in chapter 23, verse 2 of Psalms, he said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Let me describe a little of that to you so you will understand. When it talks about, remember, David is a shepherd. He is talking about his sheep. We're out in the field. We're talking about the green pastures. So understand there's a comparison going on here. I studied shepherding, if you will. I studied people that raise sheep and what shepherds do and how they handle things and the dogs and the sheep. It was a very, very interesting study. And I discovered this. There were shepherds, and I found out that this goes all the way back to the history of people that cared for or overseen sheep. Many times, the shepherd might find a particular lamb. Maybe that lamb would run away from the flock. As you know, they'll move in flocks, but if there were a particular lamb that in fear ran away, or in panic ran away, or even in frolic ran away. But if that sheep created a habit of getting out of the fold and running away, I know this sounds cruel, but what the shepherd would do, he would take that little sheep, he would very gently break that little sheep's leg. It would heal, it would go back into the flock, but that sheep, because of that broken leg, would no longer wander away from the flock and would stay close under the shepherd's care, the care of the dogs, and the care of the other obedient sheep. You say, wow, that seems harsh. Which is harshest, a broken healed leg or being eaten by a lion? And when it talks about, it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Do you know that sometimes you and I, so you all know, do you know that sometimes even our injuries in life, remember when I told you nothing gets to you without coming across God's desk, and every one of us would say, I don't understand why he let that happen to me. What good could have possibly come from it? Is it ever possible that possibly the little break of the leg helps us to be more dependent on Him and then to stay closer to Him and stay where we're supposed to stay within a realm. I'll tell you this, in the times where God's had to thump me in the head, I didn't like it when I got thumped, but I can tell you something, if it drove me back to God and if it got me closer to God and it refocused me on God, God just did me a favor by thumping me. And when he says he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, I said to the man that was in the hospital bed, I said, I don't understand why you're going through this, but I will assure you what you're going through is going to have the end result of you getting closer to God. He said, Brother Owens, it already has. It already has. But wait, in a couple days, he'd get the ultimate closeness to God because God would do a transfer. He'd go to heaven. But in regard to our security and our safety, we see here he gives us support. He is there to give us safety, and he, from the angle of being beneath us. I went on. Then the Bible says he's beside us in regard to the still waters. We've read the scripture before. He's beside us. So not only does God have something beneath us to stabilize us, and even the pains that we face are there to keep us where we need to be, but he also, we are going to be, or we are beside the still waters. You know that shepherds say that sheep would not drink from troubled waters because they're very tender. They're very, very fearful. So you wouldn't take your flock of sheep and take them to a raging river where there's rapids, because the sheep, they were afraid of the sound, they were afraid of the anger. So they would find water that was still, so it didn't scare the sheep. But it says here, it's going to be, God said, I'll take care of you, and we're going to be beside. God gives his people still waters. God said, I am not only going to be beneath you, I'm going to be beside you. In other words, he's going to be to the right of you. He's beside you. You say, there's two sides of me. Okay, then he'll be to the left of you as well. But God said, I'm going to be beneath you. I'll hold you up, but I'll be to the right of you. I'll be to the left of you. Listen, whatever you face, and in the insecurities that life brings upon us, and sometimes the insecurities we bring upon ourselves in life, I'll tell you something, God will support you. He will hold you up. He will be to the right of you. He will be to the left of you. How many times I watched when Mrs. Croom's mama, Mrs. Manley, when she had gone to heaven, I watched Mrs. Croom coming into the service, and you know what? There was somebody that had gone up and grabbed Mrs. Croom's arm to steady her, and not just physically. They gave an arm to say, I'm beside you during this hard time. It's kind of odd, Brother Croom. I watched your wife coming in as you and I were on the platform, and I seen somebody that had that arm, and you know, in my brain, I said, isn't that sweet? Look at those three people coming down that aisle together, Mrs. Croom, the lady that was steadying her from the left, and the God that was steadying her on the right. So you understand when you say, what about safety? You've got a God that is beneath you, according to Psalm 23. You've got a God that is to the right of you. You've got a God that is to the left of you. You know, sometimes we're scared to death to serve God because you say, I don't know if I can do this. Let me tell you something about serving God. You don't have to do it alone. A lot of things that scare me. I would have never thought in a million years when I was a 16-year-old kid and God was tugging on my heart to call me to preach, I would have never dreamed I could have ever done, stood up in front of people and talked and preached and do it in any way that would have been maybe translated into being successful. And I've not accomplished a lot of that, but God figured out a way to help me. And there are times I felt like for me to go do what I need to do, I'm going to have somebody holding me up with both arms. But God's there for you. He's there for me that way. So he's beneath us. He's beside us. I went on to talk to this person that was dying, and I told them, I said, not only that, not only is he beside you, not only is he beneath you, I said, the Bible says there in Psalm 23, verse 2, it says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Huh. So now I've got God under me. I've got God to the right of me, to the left of me, beside me. Now I've got him out in front of me. He leadeth me. The sheep were to follow the shepherd. Sheep will follow. That's what they do. Good sheep, they follow. They if you watch sheep, they'll get, you know, a sheep will get out in front and they'll start moving. The whole group, they move around. There's a unit. Now, you know what? Cows will go everywhere. The sheep, they stay pretty close to each other. But he said, he leadeth me. And our God, to bring safety and security to you and me, said, I'm under you, I'm to the right of you, I'm to the left of you. Now, he leadeth me. There are men in this room that have seen battle when the guns were being shot at them. My brother-in-law was a Marine, and he's in heaven now. But you know, I remember him telling the stories when he was in Vietnam, and I remember some of the things. I remember him using the term the point man. In other words, they were going through a field or through a jungle, and there was a man out front that was watching for the landmines and everything. And that man led the other men. Now, there are men that were point men that didn't make it. They found the landmine. Sad to say, they found it by losing their life. Get this. This is so comforting to me. God is my point man. He's my point man. He leadeth me. Through what? The jungles. You say, yeah, but we're now, you know, Brother Owens, when you talk about the point man, we're talking about people that are vicious enemies of America or of freedom. Let me tell you something. There's a more vicious enemy called the devil. And the jungle through which we travel as we journey for the Lord, the devil's always trying to destroy us. But I have Jesus as a point man. And he's never stepped on a landmine. He's more powerful than our foe. Mrs. Owens is not very fond of mice. I have a plethora. That's my new word. I have abundant stories of Mrs. Owens and her distaste for mice. I'm only going to use one of them today. I cleared it. Got it cleared through headquarters. But you know, she thinks a mouse is around. You know, we're getting the 357 out. That baby's going down some way. And she had told me, she said, honey, there's a mouse. I know there's a mouse. I heard the mouse. I seen calling cards, and I know there's a mouse. And so I put a trap out. I caught a mouse, and I told her, I said, honey, in the garage, there's a mouse. She said, I want to see it. She wanted to make sure I really did catch one, that I wasn't just doing, you know, trying to pass the duty on and tell her to stop worrying about it. But you wouldn't have believed. I'm taking her to the garage. She is right behind me. And I mean, behind me, because she doesn't really like mice. And so she's back there, and you would have thought we were going in to the jungle where there were pythons. Because she's looking over her shoulder at me, and I said, see, right there it is. She said, okay, get it out of the house. And so we got rid of it. Now, but you know what I did? I led her through the jungle of our laundry room. I led her through the jungle of our garage to that door where they seem to come see us every once in a while. And she stayed right behind me. Can I tell you something? God will lead you through the jungle. Stay right there. He leadeth me. The man that was dying, he just was real honest with me. He said, I'm a little scared. And you, for you and me, right now, we say, oh, it'll all be okay. When we die, it'll all be okay. You're not there yet. You're not there yet. And someone, you know, I had someone say to me one day, they said, preacher, they were at the hospital, very sick. I said, how you doing? They said, well, it's not time for me to die. I said, well, how do you know? They said, Bible says God will give you dying grace. He said, I'm scared to death, so I know I ain't dying right now. But let me tell you, I told that man, I said, listen, I said, according to the scripture, he will lead you. And the God that saved you, when it's time, you don't have to worry that there's going to be some terrible process from the time you close your eyes till the time you get to heaven. He's going to lead you. He's taken you. It's all going to be okay because He leadeth me. You see, the God that wants to provide and does provide safety for me and for you, He is beneath us. He is to the right of us. He is to the left of us. He is leading us. He's out in front of us. The Good Shepherd knows the sheep, and He knows them by name, and we follow Him. And He is our point man. God goes before you. You know, there's something we pray around here. This is a soul-winning church. We don't just wait for people to stumble in here needing salvation. We go out and find people that need salvation, and we spread the gospel through our community. But the people here, they could tell you this. They'll hear us pray this just prior to dismissing a meeting of soul winners to go out and tell people about Jesus. We'll pray, Holy Spirit, go ahead of us. Go prepare hearts for us. For some of you, let me tell you something. You say, preacher, I'm a little bit afraid to witness to people. I'm a little bit afraid to bring up my faith. Can I give you a recommendation? If you're afraid to share your faith, prior to sharing your faith, just ask Him to go ahead of you. And He's got this way about Him that He clears a path. Boy, there are times when I was scared to death to witness to someone. I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to need a little help. And He gets everything set up. And they ask me instead of me asking them. And I'm thinking, how did that happen? He's my point man. He's the point man. Folks, you will go nowhere that God has not already been. I was in West Virginia. A brother in the church, last name was McDonald, he said, preacher, I want to take you hunting. We're going to go deer hunting. So I said, sure. And he said, I got a tree stand for you. I said, fantastic. Now, this is what I thought. Now, any of you know anything about hunting? Tree stand, it's on the on a tree. There's a ladder. You climb up. You get in it. And it's a little box up there that they've built. And I said, okay. Well, you start very early in the morning. I mean, very early in the morning, where it is very, very dark. Well, I didn't know where we were going. And you don't hunt, right by the road. And for some of you, you don't hunt in the zoo. That's not how you get them. But I had to trust this guy, and he said, okay, he said, preacher, just follow me. So here it is. It's like, and to get where we were going, we started 3 o'clock in the morning. We wanted to be in our stand by 4:30, so everything would calm down. So when the sun begins to come up and the movement of the deer, and there's a little bit to all of that. And so I'm traipsing through the woods in the mountains where I have never been with a man that I only just met. And he just said, keep your eyes on me. And he said, I'm not going to use the flashlight a whole lot. He said, I'd rather you not use yours, but I'll use mine. And so he's leading me. And I didn't realize. Now, again, so some of you know, that tree stand that I envisioned has a ladder that's on the tree, and you climb up it and you get in it. Well, we got out there in the middle of this field, in the middle of nowhere. It was very dark. We're not going to use our lights because that sends signals that we don't want to send. And he said, have you ever used a self-climbing tree stand? I said, no, I don't know what that is. He said, well, I clamp this on the tree and you're going to climb up about 20 foot and it just grips the tree and you climb up. And I'm thinking, I weigh 200 plus pounds. And I've never used one of these, and you want me to climb up a tree like somebody that shimmies the poles that work for, you know, the power company who ought to be double dog insured and be half crazy to do it. And I'm thinking, oh, brother. And he looked back at me and said, preacher, it is fantastic to have a preacher that you can hunt with. And I'm thinking, oh, now my the manhood's on the line. You got to understand the people that I live with for a while. He said, all you got to do is you get in there and it's going to shimmy and it's going to grab the tree and you're going to climb up. I said, okay. He said, are you all right? I lied. I said, sure. Well, he's watching and I'm going up this tree. I got to tell you, we did okay. Now, I was panicked. I didn't do any hunting. I had everything I needed to hunt. You say, what was your problem? I didn't know how I was going to get down. Because I'm way up that tree and I don't know how in the world am I going to get down from this tree. And I said, I understand the process going up. And I thought, you know, I learned how to maneuver myself so it would grab and climb and grab and climb. And I'm thinking, I hope it's not one step down because I'm up here 20 foot in the air. But let me tell you, when it was time to get down, he came. He said, how'd it go? You see anything? I don't know. I was just hanging on to the tree thinking, this is stupid. I do not want a self-climbing, I don't want one. I don't. I think they ought to be outlawed. He helped me down, led me out of the woods. Now, sometimes you're going to face things that you don't know how to do, in a situation you don't know how to face, but He, our great shepherd, will lead you. And we experience some of that down here in this life. Remember, God is saying to us in the 23rd Psalm through David, who was a shepherd caring for his sheep. He said, listen, the green pastures, I'm going to be under you. I'll be to the right of you. I'll be to the left of you. I'll be out in front of you, even when you're facing something you don't know how to face and you've never been there before and you don't know how to fix it and you don't know what's going on. I will lead you through this. Just follow my instructions. Don't use your light too much. Use mine. Where we get in trouble is we get in bad situations. We start using our light. Now keep your eye on the one that's got the light that knows what they're doing, and that is the God of the universe. Then he said this. He said, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me, says in verse number 4. Folks, the shepherd is always with us. The shepherd stayed with the sheep. He comforts us, and that with his rod and his staff. Now, if you've ever seen a shepherd's staff, it looks like a long staff, a stick. It's got a little hook on it. And that the hook end is it's a very calm end. It's very pleasant. It's the curve in it is very, if you will, it's a polite, unalarming hook. But the shepherd's staff, it did two things. First of all, it was used to help the sheep. They could take the hook on that thing, and the shepherd could reach out, put that very calm hook around even the neck of the sheep and pull it a certain direction. It was used to guide. It wasn't, that hooked end wasn't a threat to the sheep. It was never intended to be a threat to the sheep. But wait a minute. The other end of the staff could be used to scare away a predator. You know, a lion comes at you. You put that stick between you and a lion. Or it could be used to trap a snake that could bite. But here he said, for thou art with me. The shepherd would go along beside the sheep. He would use one end of his staff to guide them, the other end of the staff. He would use it to push away those things that would be hurtful. So you understand, God goes everywhere we go, and he's pretty good at taking care of the serpent, which is the devil. And he's pretty good at providing safety for us. But remember, if a sheep would want to run away, he might use that staff to get that little lamb, put that little hook on that little lamb's neck, and pull it just gently back into the fold. Let me warn you of something, folks. When God wants to protect you, be careful running away from protection. You know, I've watched people when they face heartache, and whatever it is, whether it's self-inflicted or others inflicted or who knows inflicted, and whether it's physical or financial or emotional or whatever it is, when people panic, they don't do wise things. They don't do wise things. I've watched people panic because they thought, where I live, just behind my house, there were railroad tracks and a series of them. I seen a very emotional thing for me. The kid, his name's Jerry Horn. He lived just up the street from me. I watched Jerry get a new dog. It was a pup. And I watched Jerry, and what used to happen is we had these railroad tracks, and there were three or four sets of them, and they ran all parallel to one another, some distance between them. But we'd been around the railroad tracks so much, and kids shouldn't do this, and I wouldn't recommend anybody to be out there. But, you know, a train could be coming one direction, and then a train coming another direction, and we could stand out there, and we would be in between where the two trains are passing, and we were safe. There's plenty of room. But I watched one day, Jerry had his new dog out there, and the train started coming from one direction, and Jerry's dog, because that train was coming from one direction, Jerry's dog panicked. And when the dog panicked, there was a train coming from the other direction, and Jerry and I knew that you just be still for a moment because there's going to be some thunder on each sides of us, but we're going to be okay. But the dog, when it heard the train from one direction, ran right into the path of the train from the other direction. Look, when you are facing a heartache, don't let that tragedy chase you into going out and getting drunk, getting high, going out and doing something stupid, dropping out of church. I try very hard when people are going through hardship to try to keep them from hurting themselves. It's almost, you can spiritually begin to flail all over the place, and you start doing things that are going to damage you, that are going to hurt you. And I try so hard to contain that and say, don't do that. You're going to come to your senses in a little while, and you'd like to have your fingers left. But the Bible says that, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm just telling you, that staff was used to reach out and get the little sheep and just tug back in to keep him where he needed to be. What is that? It is God again providing safety. Did you know what you get when you cross a pit bull and Lassie? You get a dog that will bite you and then go get you help. Hey, you don't pay much, you don't get much around here. Remember, we're talking about safety. And this, I was sharing with a man that was about to pass, and he had some fears. My purpose today is not because somebody in here is about to pass. It's just a safety thing. We live in insecure times. But just so you know, the 23rd Psalm is not just something that we can use down at the funeral. Matter of fact, it's talking about those that are in the shadow of the valley of death. That's not even really the person that's dying. It's those that are around someone that's dying. It's those that could have some insecurity as a result of somebody's hurt. But he said, I'm beneath you in the green pastures. I'm beside you in the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, for thou art with me. He's right there, and he's with me. And then he said, thou preparest a table before me. Before me. What does that table represent? Well, the table represents the Word of God. Let me say that when you are a little bit panicked, get your Bible out and read it. Let the Bible steady you. You say, I just can't believe all this stuff is happening in our country. The Bible said this stuff would happen in our country. So you're not going into it blind. Now, we don't like it. It doesn't mean it's not scary. But we ought to at least have the faith to say, well, God told us that, you know, things would get rough and they would turn away from God. And let it help you. God provides for our every need, and he prepares this table before us. That's the delicacies of the Word of God and the security of his promises. You heard about the little boy that had gotten in all sorts of trouble. And his parents had disciplined him thoroughly. And they were all sitting around the table, and it was time to eat right after his discipline. And he prayed the prayer. The dad said, son, you pray today. And he said this, little boy said, God, thank you for this table that you've prepared for me in the presence of mine enemies. Folks, with God's promises, he comes to us and he says, look, I'm beneath you, I'm beside you, I'm in front of you, my word is going to get in you, and there is a safety and a security provided there. Do you know that once you get saved, according to the scripture, you're always saved? Wow, how securing that is. Heaven is our future. I don't know. Hey, I don't understand everything about the book of Revelation and all that is predicted that's going to happen there. But there's one thing I can tell you. I have a God that promised me he would never leave me nor forsake me. I went to the 23rd Psalm and he said, Jeff, don't worry. I'm going to hold you up. I'll be to the right of you. I'll be to the left of you. I'll be out in front of you. I'll provide right in front of you what you need. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to meet your need. I'm here, son. Relax. It's going to be okay. Then he says in verse number 5, thou anointest my head with oil. What is that? Well, if somebody poured a bottle of oil over your head, it would be upon you. So now he's upon us. Over us is that Holy Spirit, if you will. And that's what the oil symbolizes, the Holy Spirit. Do you know that they anointed kings and rulers with an oil that pictured the Spirit of God coming on them? In the New Testament, the Bible teaches that the Spirit of God does no longer hover around us. It lives within us. He's beneath me, to the right of me, to the left of me, out in front of me, ready to nudge me into the spot of safety with his staff. He's upon me. He's inside me. You talk about safety. Where are you going to go to get away from that? You can run a long time, but everywhere you go, God is. Inside you is the safety of the Holy Spirit. If you'll recall, when Jesus was baptized, a dove came from heaven and rested upon him. And the Bible says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That dove pictures the Holy Spirit of God. So God is giving us safety. And the man that was passing, that was dying, I told him, I said, "Look, underneath you is God, and to the right of you and to the left of you is God, and out in front of you preparing the way is God. And immediately before you on that table is God, and the Spirit of God is within you. And when you pass, that Spirit of God, what someone can't do on the outside, when you pass, God will do from the inside, and His Spirit is going to take you home, and you're going to be okay." You know, God left the Holy Spirit around to help us. Listen to that Spirit. Let that Spirit help you. And I'll say again, the Holy Spirit will never lead you to do anything that is contrary to Scripture. We live in a time and a day, and a lot of it because of all the charismatic hodgepodge on television, a lot of people, they let their emotions lead them way too much. Do what the Bible tells you to do. I'm almost finished. Then, I told him at the end, and I love this story. Most of you have heard me tell this story before. In the Scripture, it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." I've got him underneath me, above me, in front of me, to the left of me, to the right of me. That's kind of scary when you don't know what's coming behind you. So God said, don't worry. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow thee." That follows me. I think God has provided safety. God has provided security for me and for you. And God wants you to be safe. Now, folks, I have to tell you, when you watch the news and you hear about this and you hear about that and all that goes on, I'm sure we're all going to have moments of fear and try to figure it out and have some insecurities. But don't stay there. Say, why? Just stop and look at what God has provided for us in the 23rd Psalm. God said, "I've got this under control." When Dr. Ironsides was the pastor of the Moody Church in Chicago, a lady just kept coming to him in his church, and she was a little frantic. She was a bit of a panicker, and she very insecure woman. And she said, she'd come in and see him and say, "Dr. Ironsides, when I'm walking down the street, I think there are two people following me." She'd leave his office. He would comfort her. She would leave his office. She'd come back and say, "Oh, Pastor, I seen him again. I was at the store the other day, and I think there are two people following me." He calmed her. One day, he was watching out front of the church and watching her. There was almost a panic. She would look around, and she was having some emotional struggles. She came back to see him. "Oh, Pastor, I'm just sure there are two people following me." And he took her to the 23rd Psalm. He said, "Ma'am, I'm going to clear it up. I'm going to tell you what I think it is." He said, "The Scripture says here that surely goodness and mercy shall follow thee all the days of thy life." He said, "The best I can figure, goodness and mercy, the angel of goodness and the angel of mercy is following you to keep you safe." She said, "Oh." She said, "I'm fine then." And he said, from that day forward, she stopped panicking about whatever it was she thought was behind her. You know how often we think something's right behind us to get us and it's not there? Hey, let me tell you something, folks. The same God that helped Daniel through the lion's den, and David to defeat Goliath, and Moses through the Red Sea, it's the very same God of me and you. And He is beneath us, and to the right of us, and to the left of us, and way out in front of us, and immediately before us, and upon us, and inside us. You can't get better safety than that. So I just come to you today to say, don't worry. You say, why? Because He said this. I call the sermon, "Thou art with me." If you're here today and you're not saved, that's not available to you like it is to the Christian. I'd recommend you get born again. If you're saved, I know you're going to panic and you're going to have some fears. But let me tell you, come to your senses, calm down, remember the 23rd Psalm and the God we serve. I preached my revival in New Jersey. Y'all thought I forgot, didn't you? I preached my revival in New Jersey. I left. I flew back here. About 3 days later, the pastor there called me and said, "Brother so-and-so is in heaven." All he talked about in his last couple days is a sermon that he got to hear you preach. He said, "Preacher, the Bible you gave him and signed was put in his casket and placed on his chest when he was buried. But you know, the truth is, he was already with the real Word of God in heaven." Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this: are you born again? Are you saved? If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you would say, "I don't know that. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, Pastor. I would like to have that safety. I'd like to have that security, but I don't know." Is there anybody here that would say, "Pastor Owens, I'm not sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, please." Would you raise your hand and say, "Pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm born again." Okay. Who here would say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I wouldn't lie to myself, wouldn't lie in church, wouldn't lie to you, and wouldn't lie to God. I know if I died today, I'm sure of it. I've trusted Christ as Savior, and I'll raise my hand in testimony to that." Would you raise your hand and say, "I'm saved"? God bless you. You may put your hands down. If you didn't raise your hand, if you want to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. There's somebody here, whatever it is, job change, or boy, maybe an illness, a doctor's appointment. I don't know. I'm not even trying to figure that out. But somebody here, in a special way, needed to hear about the 23rd Psalm and the God that is the everywhere and all capable God that is out to give you safety. He is with you. And in a special way, you know God needed you to hear this sermon today. And you would raise your hand and let God know that you heard it. And He has helped to meet your need. Is there somebody here that would raise your hand and say, "I needed that. That helps me in a special way"? God bless you. We're going to have an altar call. In a second, I'll turn to the pianist. She'll begin to play. We'll all stand. When we do, maybe you need to come to the altar. Maybe somebody needs to come and say, "God, thank you. I sometimes lose track of you, but I know you haven't lost track of me." Maybe you need to come and say, "God, forgive me. I've kind of panicked and ran away from some of your protection." Maybe you need to get back into church or get right with God. Maybe some of that's necessary. Hey, it might even be somebody here, you've been a little ticked off at God because you say, "I ended up getting a broken leg through that process, but the broken leg kept you from getting eaten by the lion, and God was doing you a favor while you were busy being mad at Him." Don't you forget, don't panic like the dog between the two trains, because I've watched people panic when the hardship is here and destroy themselves by running into the path of another train. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need this altar, you come. Maybe you just need to come and pray for a moment. Maybe you need to come and just again ask for God's watch care. If you have a request, a need, and maybe something not associated to the sermon at all. But if you need the altar, you come. One more time through the song. If you need the altar, it is still open for you. "I'm for our country being secure. I'm for national security. I am for us being able to protect ourselves. I'm for that. But I've got to tell you something. It is not by the might of horses, says the Bible. It is through God that ultimate protection comes. The 23rd Psalm is not just there to use at a funeral sermon. It's there for our everyday life. I've got a God that's beneath me, above me, beside me, out in front of me, inside me, and taking care of it all, and thank God for it.